We typically study a small portion of God's Word together each Sunday. We most often are working ourselves through a book of the Bible, verse by verse. And currently, we're in the middle of the study of the Gospel of John. And we find ourselves in John chapter 8. And I'm going to encourage you to take your Bible and open it to John chapter 8. In verse 12, John chapter 8, verse 12. This is what we read. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Light and darkness. A stark contrast and an important one when you're walking around. You need to be walking around in the light. Jesus says if you follow Him, you don't have to walk around in the dark. You can have a life that is filled with light. But if you don't follow Him, and some of you here today, I'm certain, aren't following Him, then Jesus says you are living your life walking around in the dark. That is not safe. That is not wise. It's not in any way a good idea to walk around in the dark. But that's what life is like, at least according to Jesus, if you aren't following Him. It's darkness. But there's a more graphic way to describe what life is like if you're not following Jesus. It's still darkness, but the darkness is really worse than you might think. Way worse, in fact, than you might think. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans, he talks about life without Jesus, about living in this darkness. And here's how he describes it. I printed it for you. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, he says, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Darkness isn't just all around them. Darkness is in them. They themselves are dark. Now, what is that? What does that matter? Well, Paul goes on in chapter 2 to say this. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. An element of this darkness isn't just the darkness you walk around in if you don't follow Christ. It isn't just the darkness that's within you if you don't follow Christ. It's the darkness that will one day come upon you. It's the judgment of God. That's the darkness. It's living under and in the reality of the constant judgment of God. And it falls on people rightly. It falls justly on anybody who doesn't follow Christ. Paul goes on, verse 4, or do you presume on the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath. And you can read that. You are storing up darkness for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, He will give eternal life. But for those others, those who don't follow Him, for those who are self-seeking, those who do not obey the truth, those that rather obey unrighteousness, for all of those who are walking around today in darkness, well, there will be wrath and fury. It's a desperate situation. According to Scripture, God, the Creator of all things, your Creator, my Creator, is kind and patient with us. And He wants you to see that kindness as a motivation, a means to repent for all of your sins against Him, for your being an enemy against Him, for your denying Him even though you knew Him. He wants you to honor Him as God. He wants you to stop walking around in the darkness. But for many, they won't. They won't stop. They They refuse. They are rebellious. They have hardened, unrepenting hearts, and they just keep walking around in darkness. And the danger is, the threat is that they're storing up a greater darkness for that final day. They're stumbling around today, and they're stumbling toward a greater darkness. But there, in your Bibles, in John 8, where your Bible is open, Jesus says it doesn't have to be that way. Jesus is really issuing an invitation to come and live in the light, to come to Him who is the light. Jesus, the Son of God, promises that if you will follow Him, you do not have to walk in darkness. And more than that, you don't have to fear darkness. You don't have to have any fear of facing the judgment of God. Now, the Jews that were listening to Jesus, most of them, were a bit put off by this whole idea of darkness, especially that they were in darkness. Verse 13 there in your Bible, he says, you claim to be the light, they say to Jesus. But you're just lying. You don't have any credibility. You are not the light. And by that, they are saying, we are not dark. We are not in the darkness. And Jesus realizes the true problem. They are darkness, living in darkness. They can't see the light. They can't see Him. They don't know Him because they don't know even who God is. Look at verse 19 there in John 8. They said to Him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. How tragic to be surrounded by evidences of God all of their life, yet they don't know Him. How is that possible? Just as Paul pointed out in Romans, it's possible because they denied Him. It's possible because they refused Him. They rejected Him. And now they live their life, willingly live their life in darkness. And like Paul, Jesus warns them. Jesus warns them that the darkness will one day descend on them in judgment. Look at verse 21. So He said to them again, I'm going away. And you will seek Me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. Again in verse 24, look at it. I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe in Me, believe that I am He, you will die in darkness. Unless you believe that Jesus is the Son of God this morning, you too will die in your sins. Well, now they're interested, at least a little bit interested. Start talking about life and death, then you at least gain some portion of attention. Look at verse 25. So they said to Him, well, who are you? And Jesus said to them just what I've been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but He who sent Me is true. And I declare to the world what I have heard from Him. And then we read again, verse 27, they didn't understand. They didn't understand that He had been speaking to them all along about God, His Father. So much darkness. So much ignorance. They're blind to the truth. And they simply do not understand what Jesus is saying. Over and over again, He says, since the beginning, I've been telling you this. And for us in our study, since John 1:1, we've been being told this. In every chapter, Jesus says who He is. Others testify to who He is. The evidences are all around. But still, they don't believe. And I think about that, and I think about some of you, and that's you. You heard the evidences again and again. This is not your first Easter. So many Bible verses. So many gospel tracts, so many Christians around giving you testimony after testimony that He is alive and that He gives life and that you can walk in the light and not fear the darkness. But still you walk in darkness. Living under the wrath of God, looking forward only to dying and facing the full fury of God's wrath. Is that you this morning? Darkness, Now, I want us to pay particular attention to what Jesus says next. It's in verse 28, John 8. So Jesus said to them, to these that are living in darkness, don't lose sight of who he's talking to. He says to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. Then you will know that I do nothing on my own authority. Then you will know that all along I have spoken only as the Father has taught me. And he who sent me, my Father, is with me. He has not left me alone. He will not leave me alone. For I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And as he was saying those things, some of those in darkness, in fact, many of those believed in him. Now, there's several things that I want you to notice about what Jesus says there. The first thing, notice this. He says the Jews will lift him up. Jesus says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, when you have lifted me up, then you'll know. So we understand this, most of us. They're going to crucify him, and he is saying to these unbelievers living in darkness, on that day, when you crucify me, you will know. You will know that I was who I said I was. You will know that I am the Son of God. You will know that I'm being obedient to my Father. You will know. You will know that I'm doing exactly what I came to do. So just get that. You will crucify me. You will know who I was. I will be obedient. Now, they're always this group that pretends to know. That's who they are. They always pretend to know, and then when they might be challenged, they pretend to want to know. Because they were always saying to Jesus, show us who you are. We want to know. Tell us who you are. But their darkness was keeping them from seeing. And now Jesus says to them, you will know. You will. On that day when you crucify me, you will know. Now, he spoke like this on other occasions. Matthew chapter 12, for instance, verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. There they are again. They want to know. Now, I would encourage you, mark John 8 and turn over there to Matthew chapter 12, because we want to see how he responds to them then. Matthew chapter 12, we want to know. Tell us who you are. We want to see a sign from you. Now, again, if you've been in our study of John, you learned in the first week, right? John tells us at the end of that gospel why he wrote the gospel. He wrote the gospel. He picked out certain signs that Jesus did along the way so that you would know he was the Son of God, and by knowing and believing in him, you'd have eternal life. That's why John selected the signs that he selected. But John says this about all those signs. He says, I couldn't write them all down. If I wrote them all down, the books couldn't chronicle them all. So just understand, these Jews have been surrounded by signs. But now they say what? Show us a sign. We want to know. Now notice what he says. Verse 39, he answers them. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given except one. Except, watch this now, except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights dead in the heart of the earth. So there he goes again, and I just want you to see he's doing the same thing he did in John 8. He is talking to unbelieving Jews living in darkness, and he is saying, you have no idea who I am, but there is one day you'll know. He's pointing to the cross again. In both cases, he says to them, you look at the cross and you'll know. Look at my death, and you'll know. And then more than that, he says here, it's a death that will end in a resurrection. And he predicts his resurrection here. It's going to be a short death. So what's he talking about? He's talking about the crucifixion. He's saying, you'll kill me, and I'll be dead. 3 days, three nights, I'll be dead. That's it. No more. Then I'll be alive. And he references here Jonah, a story they knew so well from their Bibles, a story most of you know. It's in our Old Testament. Jonah in the belly of the great fish. How long was Jonah in the belly of the great fish? Well, Jesus says, 3 days and three nights. And he says, that's the sign that I'm going to give you. It's going to be that same kind of thing, 3 days, three nights. If you're in the darkness, you need a sign. You've been surrounded by signs, but you can't see those, so watch this. Listen to me. This is a sign particularly made for people in a darkness who can't see anything else. Consider this, Jesus says. Consider this most of all if you're walking in darkness today. Consider this sign. Now, we typically and rightly as Christians point to what Jesus said there. You've heard this, I'm sure, preached many times. And we say the only sign the unbeliever will ever get is the sign of the resurrection. That's really what Jesus was pointing to. He's pointing to the resurrection. And he says, unbelievers, I'm not giving you any more miracles. I'm not giving you any more signs. Just look to this sign. Never forget this sign. Look to the resurrection. Look to Easter. And in the same way that he had said in John 8, he's just simply saying, look there and you'll know. Except in John 8, he said, look to the cross. He didn't say, look to the empty tomb. And here he says, look to Jonah while he was in the belly of the fish. 3 days and three nights. He is being very specific. Because the proof of who he is and what he is doing, it demands very specific evidence for people who are in darkness. So consider with me for just a couple of minutes, if you would, Jonah. What do we know about him? Well, most of you know Jonah was called to be a missionary, to go to the wicked and evil city called Nineveh. Jonah refused to go. Jonah caught a boat taking him as far away from Nineveh as he could get. God intervenes, however, and sends a storm because God intends to use Jonah. And so this storm threatens the boat, threatens everybody on the boat. A quick solution is offered up, throw me overboard. They are glad to oblige. They throw Jonah overboard, saving the crew, saving the boat. Jonah then is swallowed by a great fish. You can read all of that just in the first chapter of Jonah. It's a pretty quick moving little read. And now the part that has our attention, the part that Jesus spoke of. Well, it's written and recorded in Jonah. It's just one verse. It's Jonah 1:17. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. 3 days, three nights. Now, let me make an observation here because it is important. Nothing is more significant to Christians than the Christian truth, the truth of the resurrection. We are a resurrection people. That's what we celebrate every Sunday. It's what we in large measure celebrate on Easter in a special way. Our faith is a resurrection faith. So when we think of the resurrection, we always think carefully about it because it's deserving of our careful thinking, and we know some things about it. Here's what we know about the crucifixion and the resurrection. We know, for instance, that Jesus died on a Friday afternoon. We know that. The Bible tells us that. The day before the Jewish Sabbath, it just so happens that the Passover week that year fell so that the Passover fell on a Friday. Saturday's the Sabbath. That's in or around our month of April, which is our month now. Now, the Passover, understand, is not tied to a date for the Jews like 4th of July, which is always on the... Okay, you're awake. Some of you are awake. No, the Passover is tied to a season. And those seasons are marked by the moon. And that's the Jewish calendar. They mark it by the phases of the moon. And so Passover always begins on the full moon of the spring. And this year, Jewish Passover this year, April the 11th. So it's just a few days ago, we had a full moon. That marks the beginning of the Passover. Now, here's what we know. Here's what we know from our Bibles around these events. Now, you don't have to turn there, but I turn there for you. Here's what Luke records. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council. He was a good and a righteous man. He hadn't consented to the decision to crucify Jesus. He wasn't for the action. He was looking for the kingdom of God. And so when Jesus was crucified, this man went to Pilate and asked for the body. This man took the body down, verse 53, wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid it in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever been laid. It was, the Bible tells us, the day of preparation. That's what day it was. And the Sabbath was beginning, which would be Saturday. So the day they took him down from the cross to get him down before sunset was Friday. Everybody with me? It was Friday. That's what day it was. The women had come with him from Galilee, followed him and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. They watched all of that on Friday. They had to get it wrapped up before the Sabbath, which began at sunset. And then they returned, the women, and prepared spices and ointments. And on the Sabbath, on Saturday, they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, what day is that? Sunday. On Sunday, at early dawn, they went to the tomb. They took the spices they had prepared. They found the stone was rolled away from the tomb. And when they went in, the body of Jesus was not there. He died on Friday. He was buried before sunset on Friday. He was in the grave on Saturday. On Sunday morning when they arrived, he was gone. So just so we know, our Bible makes it clear to us, the resurrection took place on a Sunday, sometime in the early morning, just before these women arrived. But I want to focus on the days. Friday, buried. Saturday, in the grave all day. Sunday, during the early morning hours. Friday, day one. Saturday, day two. Sunday, day three. 3 days. It's not particularly complicated. It doesn't have to be a whole day. We talk like that. 3 days. And Jesus says to the Jews, "You'll know who I was when you look at the cross. You'll know who I was when you look closely at these events. You will know who I was when you realize I will only be dead after you kill me for 3 days. Then you'll know." Just like Jonah. But there in Matthew 12, were your Bibles still open? And in Jonah 1:17, 3 days, we got that part. But also, what does he say? Three nights. Three nights. Well, Jesus was crucified on Friday, that we know, and he died and was buried before sunset. So Friday night's an easy one. That's the first night. And then we know on Sunday morning he rose from the dead. So we have our second night. That's Saturday night. You with me? But Jesus says you need to look close at these events. You need to remember Jonah. 3 days, three nights. So we look close. And thousands and tens of thousands have looked close since that day. 2,000 years we've been looking at this. And you have looked, and I have looked. At least every Easter we have looked. And every time we look, we see the proof that Jesus was not in the tomb. And we got a summary of those proofs from Nathan this morning. And we celebrate the undeniable truth that the tomb was empty, that he rose from the dead. And we do that every time we go back to these events, every time we as believers focus on these events, we celebrate the undeniable fact that he actually did rise from the dead. We celebrate that as Christians because we've believed in him and we know what that means to us. We know that he rose from the grave and that each one of us as genuine believers will one day be awakened and rise from the grave. We stake our life, as Nathan said, Christians have staked their lives on the truth of the resurrection. We hear what he said, we remember Jonah, and we just assume he was talking about the resurrection. And we say, amen, he's alive. We see the empty tomb and believers everywhere celebrate. But have we seen what he asked us to see? And what about those who don't believe? What do they see? 3 days, like Jonah? Sure. But they only see two nights. Friday night. Saturday night. Only two nights. It's not like Jonah. And that should trouble us. Just a simple consideration of what Jesus actually said, 3 days and three nights. Well, I'm telling you, that should trouble us. It should trouble us because he was very specific. And that means he meant for us to see something in that specificity. We can't just generally say he was talking about the resurrection. Yet there we are with our 3 days and only two nights. Does that trouble you? If you're an unbeliever, does that affirm your unbelief? Does that fuel your skepticism? I think it does. In fact, I know it does. Because I've been challenged by this little matter many times by unbelievers. Where are the 3 days and the three nights you people talk about? The days, I understand, but we don't expect to find three complete days. We'll give you that one. We speak like that all the time. I get that one. A part of a day can count for a day. I get that one. So there's Friday, there's Saturday, there's Sunday. We get that. But Friday night and Saturday night are just two nights. And that's a problem. It seems to do exactly the opposite of what Jesus said it would do. It seems to be a sign that is not a sign. It seems to point to a denial of the truth rather than an affirmation of the truth. I just submit to you, we need a third night. Jesus said, look close to those living in darkness. Maybe you this morning, those who are walking around in darkness and your only promise you have is judgment, darker darkness, utter darkness. And Jesus says, look close. So let's do that. Let's look close. And you can do that in Matthew 27. So just a couple pages over if you're in Matthew 12, if you're keeping up. If you're not, I'm keeping up. And so here's Matthew 27, verse 33. Let's look closely. When they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and they kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." That was a mockery. The whole thing was a mockery. And over his... verse 36, then they sat down and kept watch over him there, and over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And then there were the two robbers crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left, and those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." There they are, the people in darkness, right? Verse 41, so also the chief priest with the scribes and the elders, they're mocking him and they're saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross and look, let him show us that and we will believe in him. He trusts in God, let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Jesus watched. Jesus said to the Jews, "You will know on the day you lift me up on the cross." So we have that happening here, at least beginning to happen here. There he is, lifted up on the cross, surrounded by thieves. He's being mocked. He's being ridiculed. He's being murdered as an innocent man. Then Matthew writes this, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, this man's calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and he died. He yielded up his spirit. When? Well, Matthew tells us. Matthew says that from the sixth hour, which is noon, all of this started around 9 a.m., now it's noon, and until the ninth hour, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, darkness fell, covered the entire land. And just before 3 o'clock, Matthew says, just about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out from the darkness, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then he died. He died in darkness. What darkness? Well, real darkness. Matthew records it. Mark records it. Luke records it. Darkness. There's no natural explanation for it. This can't be a complete solar eclipse. The moon was full. The moon was full 7 days ago. It's not full anymore. This is the end of the week. This was no natural phenomenon. This was a supernatural darkness. This is God bringing darkness. And the Bible's clear from cover to cover. When God brings darkness, when darkness is connected to God, it is judgment. It is wrath. In all of its fury. And that's what this is. Everyone could look and see what was happening. God was punishing His own Son for the sins of all of those who would believe in Him. God was judging His Son so that nobody who ever believes in Him will ever have to face that judgment. God was causing Jesus to take the wrath that I deserved. God was engulfing His Son in the full weight of His divine judgment, which rightly falls on the sins of man, now fell justly on Christ as He bore the sins, not that He had committed. My sins. The sins of all who have ever believed in Him. And He cried out, experiencing for the first time the absence of the loving presence of the Father, and rather the presence of the judging wrath of the Father. And it was dark. And the prophet Amos speaks of this event. I printed it for you. Amos 8, 9. And on that day, declares the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feast into mourning and all of your songs into lamentation. I'll bring sackcloth on every waist and baldness on every head. I will make it like the morning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. Friends, God made the sun go down at noon. God darkened the earth in the middle of the highest and the brightest part of the day. God produced an undeniable picture of wrath to turn the celebration of the Passover into the greatest time of mourning ever known, the kind of mourning for an only son. It was the mourning for His only son. His only son, who was taking on the wrath that was mine to bear and yours to bear. Jesus said, Look close and you'll know. When you see me lifted up, when you see the 3 days, and when you see the 3 nights, and it's the 3rd night that will convince you that God Himself is crucifying His own Son. That's the 3rd night. Dying in the midst of a supernatural night brought on by God, the same way He brings on every night by setting the sun. And no one living that day could possibly see that and not know that this was the Son of God. And God says today to everyone who will look, to every unbeliever who is walking in darkness, living in darkness, and waiting for darkness, darkness without and darkness within, God says, look at my Son, look at His death, look specifically at the 3rd night, look when He bore your sins, and understand that if you will follow Him, you can have light. Oh, friend, look close. That's what Jesus says. Do you see Him? Do you see Him hanging there? Look close, Jesus said, and count the days. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, look close. Look closer, count the nights. Friday night, Saturday night. You'll have to look closer or you'll miss it. But when you see it, you will see the most undeniable reality. And it's the 3rd night. It's the night I set the sun. It's the night my Son died for your sins. Do you see it? He died in that night, so that you could live in the light with no fear of death and no fear of judgment and no fear of wrath, because He bore it all, but rather a promise that you could walk in light. Do you see it? Will you believe it? My Bible tells me the Jews saw it. Jesus told me, they'll see it. They lived it. They experienced every moment of it. And Jesus tells me they knew in that moment what they were doing. But they still wouldn't follow Him. Will you follow Him? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. I did that for them. He will have the light of life. Will you follow Him? Father, we thank You this morning for a close look at the undeniable events surrounding not just the resurrection. We rejoice in the reality of that truth. But this morning You took us back to the cross. It's a scene that's meant to have a peculiar effect on anybody walking in the darkness. It's meant to show them that 3rd night, the depth of their sin. A sin that couldn't be atoned for any other way, except that God Himself would pay the price. It's meant to show those in darkness the incredible love of God. It's meant to show them His righteousness and His justice. And this is the only way justice could be satisfied. Somebody had to walk through that judgment. In a peculiar way, the unbelievers who walk in darkness are invited to look closely at the events of the cross. To look closely, I believe, at that third night. Can't be explained away. Can't be denied. Can't imagine that such an atonement is unnecessary. It happened. And it happened for you. And it happened for me. Oh, that you would see Christ bearing your darkness. Oh, that you would believe. God, grant us eyes to see the light of the glory of Jesus Christ. We'll give Him the glory. In His name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor and Bible teacher Steve Wilson of Grace Community Church in Bowling Green, Kentucky. We trust you've been encouraged and challenged by this message. If you would like to listen to more of Pastor Wilson's messages or obtain more information on the ministry of Grace Community Church, you can go to our website at gccbg.com. That's gccbg.com. Or call 270-781-2595.